Hello, I'm Daniel. I am going to lead a meditation for equanimity today. But before I do that, I'm going to talk about what equanimity is and why we should care about it. And I'm going to start. I'm going to read a quote. This is a quote from Master Hanshan De Ching, who is one of my favorite Buddhist masters from history. And he said, "People are always so afraid of hardship. They go through life trying to avoid the difficult and embrace the easy. For me, it's just the opposite. I don't discriminate at all between hardship and pleasure. Whatever the path ahead of me is, whether it's difficult or easy, I don't hesitate to follow it." When I think about that, I'm reminded of a t-shirt I saw when I was a teenager that I saw someone wearing that said, "I don't discriminate, I hate everyone." I'm reminded of that, even though that's not, this isn't that, but this is just Anshan is saying, good or bad, whatever, I don't care. It's all the same to me. I have an even mind, right? And Hanshan was like a crazy Zen hermit. He lived in the hills and people thought he was really weird. He wasn't as appreciated in his lifetime as he is now. But people thought he was sort of a crazy person, and he just lived out in the woods and in the hills and wrote poetry and stuff. But what he said, I think, is really important. We want to learn how to let life unfold and not be so obsessed with everything. With good and bad, with what we want and what we don't want all the time, because we're obsessed to the point that it makes us unhappy. And it's easy to say, don't be so attached to results, but of course it's not easy. This is equanimity. It's having an even mind regardless of circumstances. It's really hard, and it's not something we're going to succeed at all the time. But it's something we are trying to cultivate. It is, I don't think a point will come where one day you will stub your toe and you'll just be like, "Lo, pain is entering my foot," right? You're gonna say something else. You're not gonna be have equanimity about it. But I think it is something we can learn how to train in and how to be better at. So here is a little Zen story about equanimity that I like a lot. There was this Zen master named Hakuin, and he lived alone. He lived in like a shack next to a village, okay? He didn't care about wealth, so he did live in kind of a shack, but he lived alone and he was really well respected in the community. So people would come to this master Hakuin. This is medieval Japan, post-medieval Japan, but it's centuries ago in Japan. And people would come to him from very far away just to ask, to ask about their life problems or to ask questions about Buddhism or whatever they're struggling with. They would come ask him because he was very wise. He was very well known as a wise person, and he was beloved and respected, Hakuin. And one day, this young woman, girl, actually, in the village, became pregnant, and she claimed that Hakuin was the father. And Hakuin, I have to say, in that time and place, teachers like Hakuin were usually celibate, and Hakuin was a celibate monk. So it's one was not expected for him to get a girl pregnant, and two, this girl was below the reasonable age. I don't think the story is usually told where it says what age she was, but suffice to say, Hakuin's got some explaining to do. So this woman, anyway, this girl became pregnant, and she claimed Hakuin was the father, and it was not true. A young boy her age was the father, but she didn't want to tell her parents who the father was. I don't know if she was afraid they'd hurt him or whatever, but this is a poor family, and the parents, of course, they tell everyone, "Hakuin is not a good teacher. He has defiled our daughter. He is a bad person." And people start to believe it. And after she has the baby, her parents, the baby's grandparents, take the baby to Hakuin and they say, "You have to raise this child. You did this. Shame on you." And they give him the baby. And what's fascinating about this is Hakuin was unperturbed. He just says, "Is that so?" And he accepted the child. And the story is that he took really good care of this child. He raised it as his own. They bonded. He borrowed milk from the neighbors so he could feed the child, and he really took good care of it. And also, people stopped coming to see the wise Hakuin because his reputation was fucked. These people told everyone he was awful, so his reputation was out the window. So people stopped going to see him. And a few years went by. And the girl, the mother of this child, started to feel bad for lying, and she told her parents the truth. So they went to Hakuin, and they said, "We're very sorry. We believed a lie about you. We will take the child back now. We will relieve you of this responsibility." And again, Hakuin was unperturbed. He just said, "Is that so?" And he let them take the child back. Even though he'd been raising it for years, they had clearly bonded. He let them take the child back. So this story is telling us about what should have been a very emotional series of events. It would be very emotional for us, right? We would be like, "Oh, what am I gonna do?" And we would, if we're accused, we're probably gonna be like, "No, I'm not," right? And then would that have helped Hakuin? No, they wouldn't have believed him. But it sure would have made the situation more stressful for everyone. And Hakuin kept an even mind. Even when they were taking away the child he had raised, he had taken the time to bond with this child, he still just let it happen. And it's said that Hakuin was not upset when they took the baby away, but I tend to believe he was, and he just handled it really well. I'm sure that in these events, I would have fallen apart. I would have fallen apart, and I think most of us would have, but this legendary teacher, Hakuin, he was calm and collected, and that is sort of an example to think about. That's how we want to be. The truth is, a lot of the time, things are just going to happen, and we worry so much about things we have no control over, and we want to change the things we can and work toward happiness, but we don't want to be upset. Upset. No, we don't want to be obsessed with the things we can't change. That doesn't serve us well. Obsession doesn't serve us well. So that's what we're talking about with equanimity. We're talking about kind of learning how to have this mind that instead of saying, "Why is this happening?" we want to learn how to have the mind that says, "Right now it's like this. What can I do? Right now, it's like this. What can I do?" That's what we're trying to cultivate. And a lot of the time, that is a really hard thing for us to do. We don't want to say, we want to say, "Why is this happening to me?" That's what we really want to say. We want to say, "Why is this happening to me? Why me? Why now?" Instead of just trying to figure out how to face things without that sort of that struggle we have of why aren't things going my way right now? Well, sometimes things don't go your way. Sometimes they don't. That's just the way it is. So that's the story of Hakuin and the baby. And Hakuin went on, he has a long biography. He did a lot of things, and that's just a very powerful story to me, but just because he could go through that and be like, "Is that so?" I really like that. So, this is a meditation designed to help us cultivate equanimity. It's one of these ones where I say the line and you have the line in mind and you think of different people. And we will just see how it goes. So, I'm going to ring the bell. I want you to, well, first find your position. Find a position where you're sitting at attention and where your legs aren't going to fall asleep and where your hands aren't going to be a point of distraction. I like to say, sit in the half lotus, put my hands on my knees. That's what I like to do. And another option is what I call the bowl in my lap. And I'm going to ring this bell. And this is a closed eyes practice, so I want you to close your eyes when I ring the bell. And begin by taking three deep, heavy breaths. And at the beginning, I want you to think about yourself. Bring yourself to mind. And I'm going to say these phrases, and I want you to just mentally say them to yourself. Mentally say these to yourself. May I be free from preference and prejudice. May I be free from preference and prejudice. Excuse me. May I know things just as they are. May I know things just as they are. May I experience the world knowing me just as I am. May I experience the world knowing me just as I am. May I see into whatever arises. May I see into whatever arises. Now I want you to bring to mind a person that you love very much, or at least a person that you care a lot about. And it can be your spouse, it can be your child, it can be a parent, it can be your best friend, it can be a pet that you really love, whatever is easy for you to bring to mind as someone that you care a whole lot about. Take a moment to think of that being. And with our person or animal that we cherish, we're going to go through the phrases again. So again, I'm going to recite the phrases, and I want you to just mentally say them while you're picturing this being, okay? Okay. May you be free from preference and prejudice. May you be free from preference and prejudice. May you know things just as they are. May you know things just as they are. May you experience the world and knowing you just as you are. May you experience the world knowing you just as you are. May you see into whatever arises. May you see into whatever arises. Next, I want you to bring to mind someone who doesn't mean that much to you, someone who you only know barely. So it can be a coworker and you know who you are, who they are, but you've never talked to them before. Or it could be your mailman. Or it can be a neighbor that you've just seen and you've never really engaged with them. Maybe you don't even know their name. Or it can be a squirrel that lives in your yard, whatever, somebody, a person or being that doesn't, you have no feelings, good or bad, about them. That's what we're getting at. A person or being that you have no feelings, good or bad, about. So take a minute and bring that person to mind. This is called the neutral person, the neutral person. And with this neutral person in mind, we're going to go through the phrases again. So have this person in your mind and mentally repeat these phrases to them. May you be free from preference and prejudice. May you be free from preference and prejudice. May you know things just as they are. May you know things just as they are. May you experience the world knowing you just as you are. May you experience the world knowing you just as you are. May you see into whatever arises. May you see into whatever arises. And then now our intention is to bring to mind someone you really do not like. Or if you have someone you actively hate, that would be a good person to bring to mind for this. And the intention is to bring someone to mind, what we call a negative person, someone who makes you upset, who bothers you, who makes you mad. And if you're fortunate enough to not have someone like that in your life, you can think of maybe a famous person or even a fictional character. Just somebody who just you think that is a bad person or being, but you just you do not like them. Bring them to mind and take a minute to think of someone that you really have negative feelings toward. And we're going to go through these phrases one more time. So again, I'm going to recite it, and I want you to say it, mentally say it to this negative person. May you be free from preference and prejudice. May you be free from preference and prejudice. May you know things just as they are. May you know things just as they are. May you experience the world knowing you just as you are. May you experience the world knowing you just as you are. May you see into whatever arises. May you see into whatever arises. All right, that was the guided meditation for equanimity. Full disclosure, I didn't create that meditation. It's inspired by a guided meditation by Ken MacLeod, who is at unfetteredmind.org, and you can see more meditations like that there. And this was the fourth in a series. I did kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And so that has been a four-part series on the four immeasurables, and that's completed now. So thank you for taking the time to sit with me today. And if you've sat with me all four times, thank you very much for doing that, and have a good day.